This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Imagine MKE's enthusiasm for its mission can be summed up by the opening sentence on its website. Let's imagine Milwaukee as the world-class arts and culture city that it is. 3 years, 27 planning meetings, and the efforts of over 100 local artists, cultural leaders, and business people have resulted in a nonprofit organization that hopes to be the cultural hub of the city. Longtime residents and listeners may remember the Cultural Alliance and then the Creative Alliance, two similar Milwaukee-based organizations that hoped to do the same thing. Both groups did strong work, but ultimately disbanded. Their efforts did help lay the groundwork for Imagine MKE. Katie Heil is the chair of the board, and David Lee is the newly appointed chief executive director of the organization. They spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North, and Lee starts by explaining what the group hopes to accomplish.
Imagine MKE is a coalition of arts institutions, businesses, and individual artists working together to build a stronger Milwaukee through a more thriving arts and culture sector. Our vision is a more inspired, inclusive, and engaged Milwaukee, and our mission is to advance the sector and be the voice for the sector's contributions to the cultural, social, and economic health of our city.
Okay, so backing up from that a little bit, how do you propose to do all of that? What's the method to the madness, if you will?
Sure. So through a 15-month planning and work group process, we've sort of identified four areas that we want to make some advancements in our city. So we want to ensure that artists have the support they need to be able to live, work, show, and perform. We want to make sure our neighborhoods are thriving, and we want to make sure that we're advancing public policies that help to make all of that stuff happen. And we want to work to change the narrative of our city through a more improved marketing and PR about the arts and culture sector.
So, Katie, you're the one who pretty much started this whole thing. What did you want to do with Imagine MKE?
I have worked in the arts and culture sector for 4 decades, and I just saw great work being done, but a lot of the work being done in silos and sort of an atmosphere, because we are 48th of funding for the arts in Wisconsin, more an atmosphere of competition than cooperation and collaboration. So 3 years ago, really, we started just convening and bringing together people to ask what they think should happen and how we might work better together. And that's what's sort of unique about this effort to all the research we did in the process with other cities. This is a bottom-up plan. We engage the sector, business leaders, other initiatives that include the arts, the city, the county, the GMC, the MMAC, all to the table to look at how we could work better together and have more impact in the community.
Now, how does this differ, or does it differ, from what the Cultural Alliance was trying to do a decade ago? Because we've seen some of this before.
Sure, and we are very conscious. This is sort of the third shot at this, and we very intentionally invited leadership from the Cultural and Creative Alliance to the table, and actually within our process, they folded. The difference, you know, they did some great work. I think a lot of times with these efforts, it's timing. They did the great creative economy study. They had some engagement for a while, but I think it was timing, and they didn't have enough funding, and they didn't have enough engagement within the sector.
They also hit right at, I seem to remember, this was 2008.
Yeah,
where like lots of things that were great ideas just kind of went away because everything kind of crashed and burned.
Very,
at that point.
Very true.
So it sounds like you're building on some of the work they already did to kind of move this forward. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
100%. And I think what was really interesting, my first week on the job, I attended the National Americans for the Arts Conference in Minneapolis and was part of this sort of U.S. Urban Federation of Arts Agencies meeting. And I got so much feedback, actually, about how the work that was being done with the Creative and Cultural Alliance was really ahead of its time. And now, potentially, we're hoping that Imagine MKU sort of learning from what had been done about 10 years ago and with this really intentional planning process that's happened over the last 3 years, last 15 months, sort of more intensively, that we're going to be able to build and sort of like live out the legacy, right, of the promise of the work that had come before us.
So do you see Imagine MKE's role as the facilitator amongst all of these different constituencies? Is that what you're going to do, is kind of be the hub?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Sort of the convener, the go-to place, the agency that David's very adeptly now is, it's like the chamber for the arts and culture sector.
So how are you working with the city and county governments then? Because I know Madison has an arts board of some kind. We've had one sort of, but it's never really had any teeth, if that makes sense. I know they gave out money
right.
at times, but there wasn't really like one place you could go.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is that up until the founding of our organization, Milwaukee was the largest American city without a cultural plan or a coordinating office for the arts, artists, and the business sector. So what Katie said, like we are hoping that in the next few years we will be seen as the sort of chamber of commerce for the arts, right? Because Wisconsin ranks 48th in public funding for the arts. When you think about the landscape, our city and county between the Milwaukee Arts Board and CAMPAC, they're going to be giving out about $650,000 worth in grants, right, to really incredible organizations over the course of the year. These funds are going to sort of change how these organizations can do their work. But if you look at a peer city like Cleveland, which in its city proper has fewer people than our city, they just awarded $18 million to their arts organizations and institutions.
Is that tax money? Oh. Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing. Public money.
And we have a very generous, all the research we've done and looked at nationally where we compare Milwaukee to other peer cities and even larger, Milwaukee is philanthropically a very generous city. The challenge is that's not sustainable. So when we started the early convening, we all recognized as a group together that we do have a systemic problem, and no organization can advocate or tell our story alone. We have to do it together to address sustainability as one pillar of the work, but an important pillar.
The philanthropic community here in Milwaukee is incredible, right? Like when you think about the institutions that have arisen in our city, in a city of our size, we have a world-class ballet, we have a world-class museum, we have a world-class symphony, we have a world-class repertory theater. That's just at the institutional
film
level.
Film festival.
Film festival. Yeah, absolutely. And so these institutions have to be preserved and nourished. And to Katie's point, like having incredible philanthropic support is only a piece of the puzzle. We really need to grow not only public support, but also public investment and public engagement, because it's not a foregone conclusion that these institutions and also other arts groups are going to be around. You know, we need folks to come and support and really take part of the richness that they provide to our city.
Well, that gets me to a question about public desire. I'm assuming people want this. The artists, I'm sure, do. I'm assuming audiences do as well. That must have been part of what you were researching for those 3 years.
Definitely, yes.
So the desire is there. It's just
to become more, you know, learning what is more relevant. And we had such interesting research about how things are shifting in the art world with people sort of want art more where they live and play and work, and how we as individual artists or institutions can address what our audiences are asking for.
How are you going to work with an organization like UPAF, which is not unique, but certainly one of the most interesting money-raising arts groups in the country? You know, they've kind of set a model for that kind of, for the big, you mentioned the ballet and the symphony and the big repertory theater, and they already get, you know, UPAF funds. So how are you going to work together with UPAF?
That is a really good question, and it's usually the $1,000 question, but I'll let David take that.
So UPAF is on our board, and they have been engaged in this process, and I think
from the beginning, too.
Right. I think what's really important for people to remember is that we are, as the sort of coordinating organization, we are doing the work of building the arts and culture sector, not just the performing arts, not just visual arts, not just the ballet, right? We're the tide that raises all boats. So if we're successful in growing the engagement in arts appreciation, broadly speaking, then it is our theory of change that UPAF's fundraising goes up. Therefore, the funding to larger organizations goes up. Therefore, small and mid-sized organizations have more support in their local communities. We are that tide that we are hopefully gonna raise all boats.
What about individual artists? Is there a piece in this for them as well?
Definitely. From the beginning, support for artists was integral to this for a number of reasons. The individual artists are what make up the institution, so it's sort of a no-brainer that they should be included. But also, we wanted our work to be really diverse and inclusive, and that it's slow work, including the artists and the inclusion and diversity piece, because that time it took to build a level of trust with individual artists, like, are we going to have a voice? It took time, and it took a lot of work and great facilitation, and we used a collective impact model to get everybody behind the same voice and vision and values.
So is the idea that some of the support for an individual artist, say, could be grant or could be placement in particular places of work, depending on what their specialty is?
Right. It's a big story to tell, and it gets a little complicated, but we're a hub, a network of networks. So MARN is part of this. The Milwaukee Film Alliance is part of this. Cultural Commons 88.9 is part of this. We are trying to lift up their work, not duplicate it, and actually connect their work where we can. Even the Arts Generator is part of this, you know, which is a really unique Milwaukee story that we have the first not-for-profit arts generator in the country. That's sort of the job we're trying to do and that David will lead.
To make those connections and to get people where they're going to do the best work.
Yeah. I don't think it's our role to start programming. I sort of think of ourselves as like the programmer of last resort, right? Like, we ought to be connecting people and organizations to existing programs and organizations that are already out there. I think with the support for artists, part of our agenda, we have outlined a number of different, or the work group has outlined a number of different agenda to-dos and objectives that they want to get done. And a lot of that is surrounding, like, ensuring that artists have the skills they need to get grants or to network or to
market themselves.
And
do
so
the business end of it.
That's right. I think that's what Marn was in here talking about last week or 2 weeks ago. So our hope is that through our work, we're able to sort of create these connections, these sort of novel connections, so that folks who need the resources and help can actually find. There's so much stuff happening right in our city right now that, like, we're just lacking a central place to sort of run all that traffic.
So, David, you're in place now. The initial 3 years of work has come to fruition where you're at this level. What are some of the next steps?
Well, the first big agenda item, when we launched our agenda a year ago, June, after 9 months and 26 meetings of over 100 people, was to create the infrastructure for Imagine MKE. So that was a big part of last year's work, why we were still convening the four working groups. So we created a 501c3. We wanted to create a runway of funding. So for the first couple of years, treat it like a startup. We launched the search for David, which was a six-month national search, of which we had over 70 applicants. We had some great applicants, but David was the unanimous choice of the search committee.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
We hired the right guy. I know that. And then, you know, building on our board of directors, but we've also been, and David is now beginning to staff up the organization too. Our offices are in No Studios, which, frankly, we've been a partner with from the beginning of that vision, and I think a valuable partner to them before they even existed, because we were already connecting them to the community they wanted to reach. So we're an art hub and a network for artists, and that was an early win for our effort too.
I think really practically, we're going to be officially launching in the fall with an event to sort of coincide with the beginning of the performing arts season. And we will be, over the next few months, hard at work at building out our sort of local arts engagement strategy for the DNC, because we see that as just an incredible opportunity to utilize the platform of this major convention with the nation's eyes are on us to tell our city's just incredible arts and culture story.
Well, I want to thank you both, A, for doing the hard work and the heavy lifting, but for coming in to tell us about it. I anticipate, David, you and I will be having conversations down the line, and I look forward to that.
Me too. Thank you so much for having us.
And Katie, thank you so much.
David Lee is the Chief Executive Director of Imagine MKE. Katie Heil is the Chair of the Board, and they spoke with Bonnie North. There's a link to more information at WUWM.com.